In our doctrinal study, we are under Roman numeral number 2, the importance of an accurate understanding of Bible doctrines. And we finished last week with, because of the nature of Bible doctrines, we talked about the teachings of that. And the second point there under B is where we're at tonight, because of the purpose of Bible doctrines. I said doctrine teaches, number one, the proper way to salvation. And if you don't have an accurate understanding of the Bible, you're not going to understand Bible doctrine. It's not going to make sense to you. Your eyes will be veiled, and you will not be able to comprehend. You might understand the historical significance. You might understand some of the things, but you'll not understand the truth of the Bible doctrines. So we are under number two, under point B, and that is doctrine prepares believers for Christian living. And I said last week, as we entered into this, I said there true beliefs lead to godly living, false beliefs lead to ungodly living. And with that said, we looked at one passage of Scripture out of Proverbs 23, I believe, and then we finished that passage of Scripture, and the next passage of Scripture, as a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes, and the next passage of Scripture where we're at and we're going to start at tonight is in the book of Matthew. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Again, we have to understand that proper understanding Bible doctrine prepares us for Christian living. It tells us how to live. First off, we have to be born again. Then we learn how to live. In chapter 7, starting in verse number 15, it says these words: "Beware of the false prophets." So once you understand Bible doctrine, you're going to be able to determine what's truth and what's not truth. It says, beware of false prophets. There are always people that are going to come along trying to teach you something or tell you something that's not accurate. And they come to you in sheep's clothes and they look good, they sound good, they can make good arguments, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now we all know what a wolf would want to do, would want to destroy its prey. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. In other words, what Jesus is saying, pay attention. Watch how they live. Watch their life. See what they're saying. Listen to that, but watch what they're doing. Because what we say and what we do can be two different things. So your talk and your walk must match. And that's what he's saying here. And then verse 18, he said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. So he alludes to judgment. He said, you know what? It doesn't matter how good they sounded. If it's a bad tree, it's going to go in, it's going to perish. It's going to be in the fires of hell. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So what you have to always understand is you're evaluating doctrine is be sure it matches up with Scripture, but also be sure that person's life matches up with the belief system. It's one thing to say something. It's another thing to believe that. For instance, Jesus said, a lot of people will say unto you, Lord, Lord. But Jesus will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So really, you can't just go by what's said. You have to look at the lifestyle. Does their talk and their walk match? If it doesn't, beware of them. And it's very simple to figure that out. In fact, he goes on and he said in 1 Timothy, isn't it? Is it 1 Timothy? Yes, 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, he said these words. And again, Paul was talking to young Timothy, and he's saying, Timothy, you have to be really cautious. Timothy was young, and Timothy had a problem being intimidated. And because he was easily intimidated, there were people in the church that were trying to get him to sway. And Paul said this, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous person. If you weren't a sinner, you wouldn't need the law, would you? I mean, you'd just live a perfect life. But for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. In other words, what he is saying there to Timothy, Paul's saying, listen, there's a lot of people out there. Their lifestyle isn't what it should be. So you become a fruit inspector. You check their lives. Are their lives matching up with Bible doctrine? And if it's not, you need to disassociate yourself from those people. You need to be careful because they will drag you down. And I've known so many people, they come to Christ. They're brand new Christians, and because they've come out of this environment of addiction, what they want to do is go bring their friends to Christ, and that's noble. But you know what I tell most of them? You're not strong enough to go back in that environment and bring those people in. You need to get well, and until you're well, you can't help anyone else. A drowning man cannot help another drowning man. In fact, even a good swimmer can swim out to help a drowning man, and guess what will happen to him? Drown him as well. Both will be drowned. So what you have to do is understand, if I'm going to be able to minister in the name of Christ and do a powerful work, I need to be well first before I can go help someone else that has the same problem that I had. So be really careful. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean by this. In Paul's epistles, he typically teaches doctrine in the first part of his books. He'll teach doctrine, and he'll just give us layer upon layer of doctrine. And then in the second part, he'll take that truth and he'll apply it to practical everyday life. He'll say, now that you know what to believe, here's how you live. Now that you know how to believe and you're stable in this, here's how you should walk. In fact, one of the most common phrases the Apostle Paul uses in his letters is worthy walk. Walk worthy, walk worthy. And in the Greek language, that's the word peripieto, and it means walk worthy of the calling with which you've been called. It means once you know, then you live it out. But you can't live it out until you know. So they go hand in hand. We get doctrine, then we get practical living. And the two, they counterbalance, and they even out. And if you just have doctrine, here's what happens to you. If you just know doctrine, but you never live it out, here's what happens. You become bitter, censorical, critical, mean-spirited. You know all the answers, but you're just mean. But when you live it out, you have that balance. You know truth, and you practically apply it with love. But just to know truth isn't enough. You have to have truth and love. And that is a healthy balance, and that's what Paul is saying that we need here. In fact, he gives us this example in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, watch what he said in verse 1 and 2. He's teaching doctrine, teaching doctrine, teaching doctrine. And then Paul says, okay, here's what I want you to understand now. Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, I've been teaching you doctrine. Now, here's what I want you to do now. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, let me just pause on a word there. He wants our bodies to be living sacrifices. Now, when you think of sacrifices in the Old Testament or sacrifices in the temple, what happened to those bodies? They died. They took their life. But he said, what I want you to do is be a living sacrifice. Now, a living sacrifice means, you know what? We are set aside for the kingdom work, and we're to be holy. We're to be acceptable to God. And guess what? This isn't anything beyond exceptional. This is just reasonable service. This is just reasonable service. And then he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. So you got to resist pressure to conform. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what he's saying? When you're transformed, you know what he's saying? You need to be transformed in about four different ways. If you want to write these down, I'll give you time to write them down. You need to be transformed. Number one, you need to be transformed morally. I mean, when you know doctrinal truth and you're living it out, you're a living sacrifice, you need to be morally pure. You need to understand that your life counts and it matters. So you need to be morally pure. You need to be lining up with Scripture in your life. The second thing is you need to be intellectually pure. You need to be intellectually pure. Your thought process, your thoughts, what you think. Because remember Proverbs 23:7 said, as a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. So it's a process of thinking. It's a process of thinking. It's a process of living. This is how we practically apply the truth of the doctrine that we come through chapter 1 through 11. And then it's not only because he says take control of the high places of your mind, transform your mind, but then he says basically there's a third area, and that's emotionally. Emotionally. And you know what? There's nothing worse than somebody that's always like this emotionally. I can't stand that. Can you? It drives me crazy. I like somebody that's just straight down the line. When they're on this roller coaster, makes me a nervous wreck. I want stability. And that's what Paul's saying. You need to be stable. And once you're stable emotionally and intellectually and morally, then you're walking in the path and you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And others are seeing there's something different and transformational that's happened in your life. And then as we look, the perfect will of God, behaviorally, your behavior, how you behave. And by the way, how many of you have been in business meetings where all HE, you know what, took place? And isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible? That Christian people, godly people, behave so ungodly. I was in college, and this guy was a student, a fellow student. He and I were kind of friends, but not. I always thought he was just so far to the right that he was a legalist. Well, he came back to college. He had a black eye. I said to him, "What happened?" He said, "Deacon and I didn't agree. We went out and settled it on the front steps of the church." And I said, "You're kidding, right?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, "I got the best of him." And you know, all I could think is, what kind of picture did that paint for the congregants and the community? What type of picture did that paint? Is that morally? Is that emotionally? Is that intellectually? I mean, you see what I'm saying? There's something really, really wrong with that. So understanding proper doctrine doesn't make us so narrow that we don't love, but it gives us knowledge of truth, and that it applies to our personal life where we love people, we care for people, we make a difference in their lives, and we go that second mile. In fact, if you'll turn on over to the book of Ephesians, did I not put these down? I'm sorry. I didn't put these down. Well, anyway, you're getting some stuff that's not down. How's that? You can write it down on your handout if you have your handout. And by the way, all this is online. It's on YouTube, so you can go there and see it anytime. But now watch how Paul points it out in Ephesians. Chapters 1 through 3, doctrine, 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 doctrine. Chapter 4 comes to verse 1, and he says these words, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy," that's that word, peripieto, "of the calling with which you were called." So it's your reasonable service, it's your calling, so guess what you do? You walk worthy. You just stay the course, you understand what the calling is, and you live it out practically, and you're honoring Christ as you do this. Now, that's what understanding doctrine does. It gives us a proper understanding of the way we should live and how a believer should live. Not just a head knowledge, but it's a head knowledge and a heart knowledge working together to glorify Christ by our belief and by our action. And that's what's going on in these letters. Well, let's go on down to the third thing that it talks about. And doctrine prepares believers for Christian service. It prepares us for Christian service. You see, too many people, they believe, well, all I need to do is get saved. All I need to do is be born again, and then I don't have to do anything. I've got my ticket punch for heaven. I've got my fire insurance policy. I'm good. I'm good. But when you understand proper doctrine and you're living out the likeness of Jesus and you've given your body as a living sacrifice and you have this balance. Now, be careful. Don't get out of balance, because you get out of balance, it's all work. You're out of balance. It's all doctrine. It's out of balance. It's this balance. It's this balance. And everything in life needs to be in balance. You ever gone to the doctor and he does a blood test and he says, maybe your potassium's low? Or maybe your sugar's high? And there's this, it's not in balance. You know what that does? All kinds of, Shirley, what does it do if your sugar's out of balance? Huh? Makes you feel terrible, doesn't it? Well, if your potassium is out of line, you know what it can do? Your potassium can be so low that your legs quit functioning. Your heart, you start having heart problems. And you're not in balance. So there's this balance that's true of everything in life. It's true scripturally, doctrinally, personally, practically, medically, every area, emotionally, every area there has to be balance. But this doctrine prepares believers for Christian service. We're in Ephesians, so let's just go into chapter, let's just stay in chapter 4, and let's pick up the conversation about verse 11. Watch what Paul says here. He says, here's how the balance should work in church, because you have doctrine right, here's the practical outworking. He himself gave some to be apostles. That word apostolos means one sent. Those are the ones he sent out. Some prophets. You say, oh, to prophesy, that means to speak the truth, to speak forth the truth. So he gave some to be apostles. He sent them out. Some to speak the truth. Some evangelists to share the truth of the gospel. Some pastors, like I am here, to take care of the local flock. And some teachers. And here's why he did that. Here's the practical outworking. For the equipping of the saints, guess what for? For the work of the ministry. You know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to teach you and train you to do the work of the ministry. You see, sometimes people think, well, we have a preacher because he's supposed to do the work of the ministry. And that's been a really last century thing. And because it's gotten so out of balance, you know what we try to do? Buy more staff. Put more staff on. And my philosophy is always this: empower the body. Empower the body. And then let the body do the work as we work together. And then he goes on and he said, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and here's why. Here's what happens when we do that. When we equip and when we work, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then he goes on and saying, till we all come to the unity of faith, till we all come where we're in agreement of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. And that word perfect, you say, I don't think I can ever be perfect. You know what that word perfect really means? Mature. Till you grow up and you're mature. And think about it, Charles. When you were a child, you thought as a child, you acted as a child. You lived as a child. You spoke as a child, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12. But when I grew up, Paul said, I put away childish things. Same is true in the Christian life. When you're a baby in Christ, guess what you do? You bicker. You fuss. You fight. You claw. But when you become mature, watch what he said. That's to the Son of God, a perfect man, to the measure of the statures of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, of the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know what he's saying? You won't be misled by every new thing that comes along. You won't be like a flag blowing in the winds, blowing in the east, blowing in the west, blowing in the north, blowing in the south. It just, wherever the wind blows, it goes. You ever known anybody like that? I mean, there's no solid ground. And whatever's the newest fad, they go. Back when I started preaching 30 years ago, these movements were going on. There was a higher life movement. Anybody remember that? The deeper life movement. Anybody remember that? The wider life movement. All of these things was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Why don't we just get back to this? Why don't we just get back to this? Quit having these movements. Quit being blown around. I had a pastor friend who pastored not far from here. He's down away. He's been in and out of the ministry and really struggled. And I think a lot of that's because of emotions, but that's neither here nor there. But every time we would meet when I was first in the pastorate, he's a little older than me, and he would say, oh, Brother John, he said, I'm fighting this demon, and I'm fighting this battle. He said, what are you fighting? I was like, well, I guess I'm too unspiritual to even know what I'm fighting. But I mean, he was always fighting something, always fighting something. You know, it's like behind every bush there's a demon. And I said, you know, I really don't, I don't know, I'm just, get up and preach. And he'd say, oh, have you read this book? Have you read this book? Oh, you got to read this. This will transform your ministry. And every couple of months, something else was transforming. And I'm like, this not enough? I think this will transform our ministries. This will transform our lives. And that's what Paul's saying. You understand doctrine. You live it out practically. And as we do that, we grow and develop and become what God wants us to be. Now, we move over to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, understanding it properly prepares us for proper Christian service. In chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, here's what we need to understand. All Scripture, and by the way, all of this, Genesis to Revelation, is Scripture. Okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, when you think about this, that's pretty amazing because Paul was writing this to Timothy, and Paul is saying, the words that I'm writing to you are inspired. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. What are we doing? Doctrinal study. For reproof. What's reproof? Correction. Yeah, reproof, correction. Yeah, I'm going to check this out. Make sure it's correct. And then he said, for instruction in righteousness, to teach you correctly, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Instruction in righteousness. Now, how many of you knew exactly when you took your job years ago, whatever it was, you knew exactly how to do it? Anybody? You had to be instructed. You went to school to learn how to teach. Where did you really learn how to teach? In the classroom. In the classroom. And we learn on the job, don't we? We get instructions, and then we get guidance to keep us out of the ditches as we're learning. But we grow and develop as we're maturing, and I'm almost out of time. Let's do one more. Doctrine is crucial to ministry. Doctrine is crucial to ministry. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. In other words, if you don't understand truth, then how are you going to be saved? Faith comes by, and hearing by. So, you have to understand that. You have to live that. You have to want that. And once we understand doctrine, you can teach that. You can help others be transformed. But until you do know, you can't help them at all. In fact, in 2 Timothy, we just have a couple other passages. And then it's chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now watch what he said here. Paul was saying, okay, it's so important. Doctrine is so crucial to ministry. That I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Here's what he said. behind this pulpit, underneath this pulpit, underneath this carpet, do you know what passage of Scripture I wrote on the concrete here? This passage of Scripture. As we read it, it said, preach the word. Don't preach politics. Don't preach philosophy. Don't preach psychology. Preach the word. And be ready in season, out of season. And here's how you're to do it. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. In other words, stay the course. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Guess what? You want somebody to tell you what you want to hear. Don't tell me anything that will offend me. Tell me what I want to hear. Build me up. And they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will turn aside to fables. Do you see that happening? Guys, listen. It's so critical that we teach the truth and we teach it with love. We lay it out and then we don't beat people up. You just let... Listen, you don't need to be condemned. You're condemned already. How many of you beat yourself up more than you build yourself up? Yeah. We do. But we need the truth, so we know the truth. And John said in John chapter 8, verse 32, and what will the truth do? It will set you free. Well, let's look at Titus, and we'll finish. In Titus chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Titus says these words. Or Paul said to Titus, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince those who contradict. In other words, you know, you do what? You don't just beat them up, but what do? When they don't understand truth, true doctrine, what do you do? What it say? Teach them. Teach them. Encourage them. Help them along. Don't beat them up. And it says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. And Paul was saying, you know what? It's the Jews that are doing most of this in the church. They've come into the faith, but they're wanting to take you hostage. And today, it would probably be on both sides, those who were extreme liberalists and those who are extreme on the other side as legalists. So we have to be really, really cautious of that. We're out of time. Have any thoughts or comments or words, anything you'd want to share?